Good morning. Today's Daf and Tanya says Vav. We are in Hamad Beis. We are 8-9 lines from the bottom of the Amud. Amar Rabbi Yitzchak. This is going to be just a quick conclusion of yesterday's Gemara. In the Mishnah yesterday, Ad Masai Shalom Sa Gushamim. Until what point in time do we make a petition? We request for rain. So since the beginning of the Masechta, so our discussion has revolved around one topic, and that is the petitioning of Akash Baruch Hu for rain, both when you begin in the rainy season. I.e., after immediately after Sukkot, and until what point in the season does it end, and that's Pesach. So the Mishnah yesterday informed us in terms of what's going to be the end point of saying Mashiv Ruchim Redagashim, two positions in the Mishnah, Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Yehuda says out of Pesach, and Rabbi Meir says Achiyatza Nisan for the entirety of Nisan. That prompted the Gemara to start a discussion between Rav Nachman and Rav Yitzchak. So Rav Nachman and Rav Yitzchak, Rav Nachman is the student of Shmuel. Rabbi Yitzchak don't know, but the Gemara had a lot of the discourse between the two of them. The first discourse that they had, the first dialogue they had was on our Mishnah. The Mishnah describing a Nisan as a month of rain. The entire month of Nisan. That's the Shita Reb Meir. And so they gave based on the Pesukim in Yoel, so they gave an explanation in terms of why that is, that Nisan is a month that you could daven for rain the entire month. Good. So that was the first discussion, and then many discussions to follow. In yesterday's daf, over half a dozen back and forth between Rav Nachman and Rav Yitzchak. Most of the time they ended up quoting Rav Yochanan in terms of giving an answer. Okay, they were at a meal together. Now I'm fast forwarding to the end of yesterday's daf. They were at a meal together, and so Rav Nachman asked Rav Yitzchak, "Nu, can you say something during the meal?" And so the answer, fantastic answer. He's like, "Yeah, don't talk during a meal." So the it's not appropriate. It's we're in the middle of a meal, and you talk in the middle of the meal, so it's a choking hazard. Okay, so that's my halacha. That's my dvar Torah for the meal. Okay, I'm sure that will come in handy at any point in time. I'm not sure if you're a guest at somebody's house that really would be the best response. But anyway, that was the halacha. After the meal was over, he says, "Nu, can you now tell me a dvar Torah? Can you now say something?" He says, "Yeah, Yaakov didn't die." And that's where we ended off yesterday. The Gemara says it's a little bit difficult to understand that Yaakov didn't die. In other words, you read Chumash and read, and you'll see that they eulogized and they embalmed him and they buried him. So the Gemara says, "Yeah, but we have a Hekesh." The Gemara quoted a Hekesh at the end. To conclude on the discussion, Yaakov did not, in fact, die. Tosus points out over here, if you read the Pesukim also, it never says Vayamas. In other words, by all other deaths in the Torah, so we have the Torah describing death, and by Yaakov, the only word that's used over there is Vayigva. Tosus makes that point. It's okay. So, another raya that Yaakov did not die. What does the Gemara mean by that? Okay, good. So, as you can imagine, you'll speak not to me about that. That's not my it's not my department. But people who know and understand these things, so they're the right people to speak to. That was not helpful information. But I defer though. This is not my it's not my department. I'm a Rabbi Yitzchak. So that's where we left off yesterday, and we start with the Gemara today. The first Gemara that we're going to be doing today, it's going to seem a little bit strange. We're going to hear this twice. We're going to hear this now. We're going to hear this also in the first parak of Megillah as well. So Amar Rabbi Yitzchak, Amar Rachav, Rachav Miyad Nikre. So if you mention Rachav, right? So we're familiar with her. She is introduced to us in the beginning of Sefer Yehoshua when the two spies came. So they hid. They hid in the wall of Yericho, and they hid by the house of Rachav. Rachav was a zona, popular in those days, and the Gemara's assumption is that she was very beautiful. And so if you say her name and you say it twice, so Nikre, so you'll become a Balkari. So Amalei Rav Nachman, Ana Amina V'Loich Baliv. So Rav Nachman says, "I tried it and nothing happened to me." Now, again, like I pointed out, the Gemara here is definitely strange, and it's the back and forth over here is definitely difficult to understand what point are they trying to bring out over here. So once again, I don't have the clarity to know what exactly they're trying to. In other words, obviously they're getting to a point, but the Gemara is not really clear in terms of what that is. So Amalei Ki Kamina B'Yoda V'Makira. So he says, no, that's just saying the name is not going to be, it's not going to be stimulating. What it is only when you knew her, right? You recognized her. You could see Tosus on the bottom of the Amud over here. I'm not going to go through it. But anyway, okay, you have to, yeah, you had to have a actual experience with her, and under those circumstances, then it works. Again, I'm not really sure what the Gemara is trying to point out. We continue. Okay, so now, so that was a long discourse between Rav Nachman and Rav Yitzchak, and so now the chavrusa is done, and so they're leaving one another. Apparently, they live in two separate communities. Whatever the case is, Amrle Livarchan Mar. He says, "Look, I'd like a bracha." So Amrle Emshal Chamash Lamaha Davidama. So he says, "You want a bracha?" He says, "Look, first, let me give you a mashal." La'adam Shayolach BeMidbar. So a person was walking the desert, Vaya Ra'ev, and he was hungry, Va'ayef, and tired, Vitzamei, and thirsty. Umatza Ilan, and he finds the tree Sheperos of Misukin. So, and the tree had wonderful fruit, Vitzilo Na'en, a great shade. V'amas Mayim Overes Tachtav, it had water running underneath or alongside. Achol Miperos of ate the fruit, V'shasamei Meimav, and drank the water, V'yashav Vitzilo, and sat in the shade. And now when he leaves the tree, so what is he going to say? Amar ila ilan b'ma avarechecha. So how am I going to bless you? Should I give you a bracha that your fruit is sweet? It's already there. And she, hey, or it's that your shade is wonderful? It's there. So she, hey, amas mayim overes tachtecha. And what? That you should have water running alongside you? Hare amas mayim overes tachtecha. It's there. So Eli, here at Son, she kol nitiyo shenotim mimcha, you kamoscha. So the only bracha I can give you is that any future reproduction, so it should end up being just like you. So afata bama averechacha. So Rav Nachman says to Rav Yitzchak, so what exactly am I going to say to you? So im betar hare Torah, im ba'osha hare osher, im bebanim hare banim. So you have Torah, you have osher, you have children. Eli, yiratzon she itzay itzay meimcha kamoscha. So he says the only thing I could say is that I hope your future progeny end up just like you. Okay, I'd even add a rather famous Gemara. Tana Rabbanan, we are in Vavamad Aleph, and we're going to be spending a good amount of today. I'll check that. We're going to be spending all of today going over rain, right? We learned in the Mishnah that there's early rains, there's late rains. The Torah describes that every time we say Shema, we make recognition of the fact that there's early rains and late rains. That's called Yoreh and Malkosh. Yoreh is the early rain, Malkosh is the late rain. Those are very strange words in the Torah. Right? What exactly, how is Yoreh speaking to the early rains? How is Malkosh speaking to the late rains? So all that coming in today's daf and begins right now. Tanu Rabbanan, the Gemara starts with a brisa. Yoreh. So Yoreh is a reference to the early rains. How do we get from Yoreh to early rains? So the Gemara is going to give not one, but three different interpretations. So number one, Shemara esabrios lahatiach gagosem lachnis es perosem v'la'asos kol tzarcheihem. So number one, it's instructive, right? The Yoreh from the word Morah, which means a teacher, an instructor. So that first rain, that's instructive. What does it tell us? So first of all, if you got a leak in your roof, okay, so then go ahead and fix it. Number two, you got fruit out in the field, so you want to bring it inside. Meaning, remember back in the good old days, after the wheat was collected, it was left out in the field in order for it to dry. And then it was brought inside. Once it starts raining, obviously you don't want to leave it outside because the whole point of leaving it outside so that they dry, obviously you don't want it in the rain. And the la'asos kol tzarcheihem, not sure what that means, but anyway, whatever, take care of all your needs, meaning the rain is starting to come. So that's how we get from Yoreh to early rains. Davar achir, Gemara gives a second shot. Shemarve es ha'aretz umashke atahom, satiates the earth. Shenemar talameha rave nachas gedudeha bir vivim temogen gegna samcha tevarech. Okay, and according to Pasuk in Tehillim, describing how the word moreh comes from the word raveh, which means to satiate. Davar acher, Gemara now is going to give a third shot. Yoreh sheyoreh benachas. Ve'eino yored bizaaf. So yoreh means that it comes down gently and not strong. How do we get from the word yoreh to that? So Rashi over here writes, I'm reading the Rashi inside. Sheyoreh benachas v'hachi mashma. Yoreh ka'adam shemor l'tamidav benachas. So the teacher is teaching benachas. He's teaching pleasantly. The pasuk in Koala says that if you want you to communicate and you want to get your point across, so you do so benachas. Inami lashon chetz yoreh ha'olech biyosher ve'eino notel kan l'kan. Rashi offers another explanation again. What we're trying to get from the word yoreh to nachas, to something which is gentle. So the gentle teacher, says Rashi, possibly also It's going straight down, meaning it's not torrential rain that's, you know, raining horizontally. In other words, it goes straight down. And presumably that's gentle. Lashon Acher, Shemizkavin La'aretz Ve'enu Yored B'Za'af. Or basically it's headed straight to the ground, right? Like an arrow going straight down. Okay. Various ways to get from the word Yored to Nachas. But anyway, that's that is a third possible explanation of the word Yored. So the Gemara says, how do I know? Maybe the rain that the Torah is describing over there is torrential. So Tamalomra Malkosh. So the, no, can't be because Malkosh. Ma Malkosh Libracha. Avyora Libracha. The Malkosh is coming Libracha, as we're going to establish in just a moment. So the Yorah is also coming Libracha as well. Okay, so basically a Hekesh. Since Malkush, the later rain is coming in Bebracha, so too the early rain is coming in Bebracha as well. So the Gemara says, great. Now, I'm sorry, before we go on in the Gemara, how did the Gemara know that Malkush is Lebracha? So Rashi says, well, it's, the deduction goes like this. By Malkush already, so the grain is there, meaning that the grain grew as a result of the rain that started in Mar Cheshvan and continued throughout the entire rainy season. So at the end of the rainy season, the Malkosh, so now what? So the rain's coming down? No. So the Gemara assumes, Rashi says, that by the end of the season, so Malkosh, so the rain can't do any damage to any of the growth, any of the vegetation, any of the crop. That's why the Gemara assumes that the Malkosh has to be Lebracha, because there's no damage that can be done. Everything is already grown. That's how the Gemara makes the assumption. Now the Gemara is going to challenge that assumption. Oh, ain't no Malkush. Now we're back to the Gemara. Oh, ain't no Malkush. Allah Shemapil Sabatim. Mashabas Ilanos. Umales Asakayin. So even if we're not talking about the vegetation, Malkush could still be damaging. Meaning, okay, so it doesn't damage the crop. It could damage the houses and other things. So Tamalama Yorah, my Yorah Labracha, Malkush Labracha. So then the Gemara goes in the other direction. Well, you know, Yorah's Labracha, once Yorah's Labracha, so then Malkush is also a Bracha as well. If you're following well, so you just realize that the Gemara went in a circular reasoning. Meaning, how do I know the Yorah is good? Because Malkush is good. How do I know the Malkush is good? Because Yorah is good. Okay, good. That's circular reasoning. And so it's not grounded in anything, right? With pun intended. So so as a result of that, the Gemara now wants to know, okay, we need to ground it, meaning you can't just exist in the circular reasoning. So the Gemara says,
the context of the parsha where it comes from is a brach.
Correct.
It's totally
understood. It's an excellent point. The Gemara just wants to have a source to this. So the Gemara says, I'm with you. I think your point is excellent. The Gemara is going to give a source. So v'yorah gufa minalan. So how do I know that yorah is in fact lebracha? So dichsiv. So the Gemara has the pasuk. The pasuk. We go back to Yahweh. Uvenei tzion gilu v'simcha b'Hashem alakechem kinasal lachem es amora litzaka. So here the Mara is coming. The Mara over here in the context, meaning we just went over Yahweh. I mean, not inside, but you know the basic gist of Yahweh is that it's the end of a really long famine where locusts came and ravaged the land. So finally rain came, and so that's the Mora that's being described over here. Ki nasan lachem es amora litzdaka v'yorah lachem geshem mora umakush berishon. Okay, so fine. So we do have a pasuk that describes Yorah as being lebracha, and so okay, and now everything fits. In other words, Yorah is lebracha, and therefore Malkush is lebracha. Okay, Tana Rabbanan. Okay, so far on our discussion of rain, so we just so far have given three different interpretations of what the word Yorah actually means, meaning we know it's a reference to the early rains, but how do we get from the word, the etymology of the word Yorah, how do we get to that, to meaning rain, and specifically the early rain, and three different interpretations, and on top of that, the rain that's coming down is Lebracha, how do I know that? Pasuk in Yoel, we continue. Tanu Rabban Yorah b'mar cheshvan u'makush b'nisan. Okay, so now we know that Yorah is the early rain and Makush is the late rain, but now can we attach months to it? Now again, it's a little bit of a funny discussion, meaning it's simply empirical. Meaning in Eretz Yisrael, you know when it starts raining. But it's more than a guess. Meaning I'm probably right about this. Meaning that the significance of attaching months to the early rain and the late rains is basically that's going to inform us in terms of when we should be davening and asking and petitioning. So Yorah b'mar cheshvan u'makush b'nisan. So Yorah is coming down the month of Mar Cheshvan. We're expecting it to come in the month of Mar Cheshvan, and Malkush is coming down in Nisan. So Atamar Yorba Mar Cheshvan and Malkush Benisan, Oeno Ela Yorba Tishrei and Malkush Beiyar. So the Gemara says, okay, but I don't know. Gemara says maybe Yare is already earlier in the month of Tishrei. Maybe Malkush is later into the month of Iyar. So Tamalama Beito. Okay, so the Gemara says no. Because the Torah says the words Beito, so there is a recognized standard season in which it's expected to begin, expected to end. Okay. Malkush. Continuing the Gemara now, we are going to be giving definition to the word Malkush. So Yare, we already spent three pshatim in the Gemara in today's daf, going over the word Malkush itself. Again, an unusual word. It's really not much, it doesn't have much precedent. So how do we get from Malkush to the late rain? So here too, the Gemara now is going to give a couple of explanations of the word itself. So I'm Rav Nigalai Bar Idi, I'm Shmuel Davar Sheh, Mal Kashusim Shel Yisrael. It circumcises our stubbornness, right? It softens us, right? The word Malkosh is a contraction of the word Mal and Kashur Sehim. Okay. And Rashi explains over here, that what happens if it doesn't rain. So if it doesn't rain, so we're gonna be humbled and we're gonna be in a position of begging, pleading, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, please allow the rain to come. Okay. That's one possibility. Debei Rabbi Shmuel Tana Davishim Mamale Tvua Bekashiaha. So once again, we're looking at the word malkosh also as a contraction, but the word mal is from malay, and the word kash is kashyaha. So what it does is it fills the ears, meaning the ears have been growing over the course of the season, and that last rain of the season, so that gives the grain its fullness. Bimas nisatana davar shiyored al hamalilos valakashin, and the Gemara is going to give one more interpretation, and that is that malkosh once again it's a contraction of the two words malilos. That's the actual grains, and the cushion, and that's the chaff. Okay.
Does it mean that it cuts into the ground? It's really hard.
It could mean that, but the Gemara is working on the word itself. In other words, what does the word actually mean? What is the etymology of the word? Tana Rabban, Yorba Marcheshon Malkush Benisan. So the Gemara now quotes a Brisa. So Yorba comes in Marcheshon, Malkush comes in Nisan. Okay. Ata Omer. This Brisa is going to sound familiar. We basically made this point already. I'll read it quicker. Maybe Yare should be expected to be coming in Kislev. So the Torah says Bito, prescribed time, expected time. Yare umakush, ma'makush Bito, if Yare Bito. And just like Makush has an expected time in which it comes, and so same thing is true with regarding Yare. We're going to skip those parentheses. We're moving one line forward. Tanya Idach. The Gemara quotes another Braisa. Yore b'mar cheshvan, umalkosh b'nisan, divrei Reb Meir. So what we have now been repeating a couple of times this morning is that Yore is expected to start in Mar Cheshvan, and Malkush is expected to end in Nisan, so that sheet is Reb Meir. V'chachamim armim Yore b'kislev, and the Chachamim say that Yore is actually Kislev. So man Chachamim, who is the sheet of the Chachamim? So I'm Reb Chisa Reb Yosihi. So it is the sheet of Reb Yosi D'Tanya. So the Gemara here quotes the following Braisa. Ezohi Revia Rishona. So, Revia Rishona. Revia Rishona is referring to the first rains. The word Revia is a description of the rain, and on the Amud base of today's daf, we're going to explain why that word Revia is being used. The Gemara is going to be very clear and a little bit graphic in terms of why that word is being used. The Gemara is going to say, well, we're going to get to it. So, Ezohi Revia Rishona. So, as far as the first rains of the season are concerned, so when are they expected to come? So ha bechira b'shloshah b'mar cheshvan. So the very first of the early rains is coming on the third day of Mar Cheshvan, beinonus b'shiva. And then there are three stages of that early rain. Stage two is going to be coming on the seventh day of Mar Cheshvan. And afeila, and the third stage, afeila literally means the later one. So b'shiva asar bo. It's coming on the 17th of Reb Meir. According to Reb Meir, so that early rains, which is coming in three stages, everyone's of the position that comes in three stages. So that early rains are expected, according to Ramir, to be coming on the third, seventh, and 17th day of Mar Cheshvan. Later in this morning, we're going to go over what's the significance of describing stage one, stage two, and stage three. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Rabbi Yehuda's of the position, B'shiv of Yizayin of Esrim V'shlosha. So the dates of Mar Cheshvan are 7/17/23. And Rabbi Yossi Omer, Rabbi Yezayin ve'esrim uvishlosha uvershchodesh kislev. And according to Rabbi Yossi, the dates are going to be the 17th day of Mar Cheshvan, the 23rd day of Mar Cheshvan, and then the first day of Kislev. V'chena your Rabbi Yossi Omer. In fact, Rabbi Yossi would say, "Eina yachidim mitanim ashi agir rosh chodesh kislev." That in terms of individuals fasting, meaning later in the Masechta, we're going to be spending a little bit of time with this. And that is the idea that if it's not raining, and we expected it to rain, and it's not raining, so then we start the public fast days. You probably noticed the name of the Masechta is called Tanis. Yeah, so for good reason. It's a that's basically what we're going to be describing later in the Masechta. So, and when do we sound the alarms? Now, this is not the this is not a full alarm over here. In other words, individuals are fasting, so that's going to be on Rosh Chodesh Kislev. So, what we got from all this is the following: that according to Rav Yossi, when do we really expect rains to come? So that's going to be the month of Kislev. So that's the Chachamim of the Braisa. Okay, Rav Meir of the Braisa says that already in Mar Cheshvan we're expecting it. So the Rav Meir is consistent with the sheet of Rav Meir that we saw over here in the Braisa. Rav Meir has 3/7/17, which means that by the 17th already of Mar Cheshvan, so that first rains should have already started. And if it hasn't, so that's when you start sounding the alarms. Am Rav Chista Halacha K'Rav Yossi. Now, of the three sheetahs over here, who does the halacha follow like? So the Gemara says the halacha, in fact, follows like the sheetah of Rav Yossi, which means right now that we think that the halacha is that your dates, your significant dates for the first rains of the season are going to be 1723 and the first day of Kislev. Amemar Masik Lahad Rav Chista B'Halishna. Now, Amemar also has a Masorah in terms of Rav Chista and what the halacha follows like, but it's a little bit different than what we just said. And that is that we're going to start with a different brisa. The brisa over here reads, "B'shloshah b'mecheshv and shola insegushamim." So when do we do she'ela? So as we've been discussing since the beginning of the Masechta, so there is haskara, that's mashiv aruch mered gashem, and then there's she'ela in the ninth bracha shmonesrei, a formal petitioning of a Kadosh Baruch Hu so that it rain. And so when does she'ela begin? So according to the Tanakama of that Mishnah, so Mishnah is coming up later in the Masechta. So you start already on the third day of Mar Cheshvan. Rabbi Gamliel Omer B'Shiva Bo, and Rabbi Gamliel says you start on the seventh day of Mar Cheshvan. Okay, so obviously this is different than the previous Brisa. In the previous Brisa, we had three Shitas. Okay, so over here, this is two Shitas in this Brisa. In the previous Brisa, we did not have the Shita Rabbi Gamliel. In this Brisa, we do have the Shita Rabbi Gamliel. Anyway, the point is now, Amar Rav Chista Halacha K'Rabbi Gamliel, and Rav Chista says, anew, that's the Halacha. Halacha is like Rabbi Gamliel. Which now means that when do you start actually making she'ela of the Saint Talamatla of Racha? So that's going to be now on the seventh day of Mar Cheshvan. Okay, and in Eretz Yisrael, when do they start asking for rain? The formal she'ela, you guessed it, on the seventh day of Mar Cheshvan. Here in Chutz Aretz, so we do differently. Again, it goes back to a Gemara that we discussed a couple days ago, where there if there are other agricultural considerations and even other considerations as well, so then the she'ela, the point of she'ela, is going to be starting at a later point in time. The Rishonim already discussed how we selected our date in Chutz Aretz in terms of when to begin. That's not in the Gemara, but meanwhile, in the Gemara over here very clearly establishes that the start date for She'ela is going to be on the seventh day of Mar Cheshvan. But again, that's for Bnei Eretz Yisrael. Kaman Azla Hadetanya. The Gemara quotes the Brisa. The Gemara wants to know who is the author. The Brisa reads: Rav Shimon Gamliel Omer Gesham Shiardu Shiva Yamim. So the Braisa says that what happens if you have rain in intervals of 7 days? So if you do so, now you can count it as your three stages of the rains. So the Gemara says, come on, Rabbi Yossi. That's going like the Shita of Rabbi Yossi. Rashi explains over here. So the Rashi outside. Rashi explains over here, how do I know it's the Shita of Rabbi Yossi? Because look at the three Shitas that were presented in the Braisa. So of the three sheetahs that were presented in the Braisa, I brought myself a little cheat sheet over here. So Rav Meir has the dates being 3/7/17. So from 7 to 17, so that's an interval of 10 days. Rav Yossi has 7/17/23. So according to Rav Yehuda has 7/17/23. So that from 1 to 2, that's an interval of 10 days. So this Braisa says that if I move in intervals of 7 days, so I get 1, 2, and 3. The only one who has intervals of 7 days is only the Shita Rabbi Yossi, because Rabbi Yossi goes 17/23 Rosh Chodesh. From 17 to 23, that's a week. That's an interval of 7 days. From 23 to Rosh Chodesh, that too is an interval of 7 days. Okay, so the Brisa is going like Rabbi Yossi. Not to say the halacha is like Rabbi Yossi. The Gemara already concluded in terms of who we follow. Like just simply how to plug in this Brisa. Who does this Brisa match with? I'm Rav Chista Halacha K'Rabbi Yossi. Rav Chisda says the halacha is in fact like Rav Yossi. Again, this is consistent with Rav Chisda that we saw earlier that says that the halacha is like Rav Yossi. Again, it's a there are divergent viewpoints of what Rav Chisda said, meaning either he's going on the Braisa, or the first Braisa, or he's going on that second Braisa we just quoted moments earlier. Okay, so, right. It can be a little bit confusing, but simply because Rav Chisda, we have different masoras of Rav Chisda. Okay. That is not only the first half of today's daf, but that also is now going to be on record now that there are three stages of the first rains of the season. The first rains of the season are Yoreh. There are three stages of those first rains of the season. And in terms of when the dates are, so it's a machlokus amongst Tanaim. Three positions in terms of when is stage one, stage two, and stage three. Good. And in terms of the halacha, the Gemara says in terms of She'ela, so we're going to follow like Rebbe Gamliel. That's Rav Chisda's viewpoint. We're following like Rebbe Gamliel, who says that we're starting making the She'ela on day number 7 of Mar Cheshvan. Good. What is the significance of stages 1, 2, and 3 of the early rains of the season? That's Gemara's question. And that's where we're going to be spending the rest of our daf discussing. So, Bishlam Revi'a Rishona, we are two lines from the bottom on Vava Medalef. So, Bishlam Revi'a Rishona Lishol. So, in terms of Revi'a Rishona, so Lishol, meaning Sheila. Meaning, so now that there is an expected date in terms of when the first rains are coming, so then that is a perfect time now to start petitioning a Kadosh Baruch Hu. Supplicating, putting it into the Shemoneh Esrei. That one's easy. And Shlishi is Lehisanos. Okay, good. And now, stage 3, so that also is easy. Because if we now know that there is a range in which we're expected those first rains to come, so the first opportunity of those first rains is stage 1, and then stage 3 represents the end of that window, and if we went through the entire window and there has been no rain, so now we know we're in trouble. Now we know we're going to start fasting. Okay, so that's easy as well. So stage 1, She'ela. Stage 3, Tanis. Okay, so the obvious question now, what's the significance of that middle stage? Now, again, that middle stage will depend on who you hold like, but everyone holds that there is a middle stage. What's the significance of that middle stage? No, Shnia Lamai. Okay, it's not an easy question to answer. In fact, the Gemara is going to give 4 different answers to this question. So I'm Reb Zera, answer number 1, Linadarim. Okay, so it's going to influence us in terms of a person making a neder. So here the Gemara quotes a Mishnah, Ditnan. We are on the very top of Avam and Beza. No, they're ad hagishamim. So a person says that I'm not going to get hana from an item or from a person. And he gives the limits of his neder. It's going to be ad hagishamim. Okay, I'm ready to abstain from benefit up until the rain. That's what he says. So what does that mean? So mishiyar dugishamim. So in terms of gear, so over here it gets a little bit choppy, but I'm just reading the Gemara and whichever gear, so it comes out to be the same point. So basically, that means that when it starts raining, so that's the limits of his neder. So achater revishnia. And so now we're in stage 2, meaning the very beginning of the window is not what he meant. And the very end of the window, that's not what he meant. He meant basically the middle of the early rain. So that's the stage 2. Okay. And again, whenever we talk about neder, we know it's a hochen achar lashem b'nei adam. That's the general intent of people. General intent of people is basically somewhere in the middle. Okay. Number 2, second answer. Again, what we're looking for now is the significance, lamai nafkamina, that there is a stage 2 of the early rains. Rav Zvid Amar Lezesim. So it's going to affect the halachas regarding olives. What halacha regarding olives? So here, a Mishnah. Did not we learn to the Mishnah? Meimus I call Adam Mutar Meleke B'shecho V'peya. So at what point in time are people allowed to collect Leke Shechecha M'peya? Leke Shechecha M'peya are matanos aniyim, gifts to the poor people. So in the field, right, the halachas get a little bit specific. We're not going to go over all the halachas right now. But anyway, but there are parts of the field that go to the aniyim. Now there comes a point in time where the aniyim have now already collected, and now after they collected, it's now accessible and available to everybody. Okay, the Gemara over here it's a Mishnah. So the Mishnah over here is a little bit challenging to understand, meaning that if the anim don't pick it up, so shouldn't just revert back to the original owner? Why does it become hefker after that? I know there's a discussion to be had. We're just going to right now just say simple pshat in the Mishnah just to make the point. So anyway, so the simple pshat in the Mishnah is that for reasons which I'm not clarifying right now, So after the aniyim have collected, and there's anything left over after that, so anyone who wants can take it. So kol adam utar b'lekev shecho v'peya mishiyachu ha-nemushos. So that's when the nemushos, after the nemushos have gone over it, the Gemara is going to clarify that word. That is a strange word. So at that point in time, we can now say that the aniyim have collected anything left over, mutar l'chol adam. Beperet v'olos mishiyachu aniyim. So, and as far as Perid and Ololos, those are Matanos Aniyim in terms of the vineyard. So that is Mishiyach Aniyim, when you see the Aniyim have come and gone. And Bekerim, sorry, through the vineyard. V'yavo'u, Bezesim. Now when it comes to olives and the olive trees, so Mishiter Revi'a Shniyah. So after the second rain, so at that point in time, anything left over in the olive trees now is accessible to all. Okay, fine. So, good. So that's the Mishnah. So the Mishnah tells us now that there is a significant halacha that comes out of the stage two of the early rains. Good. And now we quoted the Mishnah. We did say the word nemusho, so the Gemara just doesn't want to miss an opportunity. So please explain, what does the word nemushos mean? That's the Gemara, my nemushos. So Amar Rav Yochanan, Sabi Daz Ve'atigra. So one pshat is that the elderly people who walk slowly, they walk with a cane, and so therefore they're going to just simply take more time in terms of collecting the field. So you have to wait until after they pass through. So once the elderly poor people pass through, then and only then can everyone take whatever's left over. Reish Lakish Amar Lakute Bas Lakute. Reish Lakish has a different shot. Basically, it's the second wave of Aniyim, all right? The young children, meaning the adult pass through, the poor adult pass through in order to collect. And then on top of that, there's another sweep done by the young children. And then and only then are you're able to collect. Okay. So that is all answer number two in terms of the significance of the middle rain. Number three, answer number three. Rav Papa Amar Kedela Halach B'Shvilei HaRishus. When you're able to walk through the pathways. In other words, there are certain variances, right? Pathways that are allowed for people to walk through during certain times of the year. Even though it's through people's properties, but there is an understanding. This is a Gemara Baba Kama. The Gemara goes even as far back as Yoshua, right? But you're right. The Gemara over there, there were two lists in that Gemara over there, one for Ezra and one for Yoshua. But in other words, when we got to Eretz Yisrael, so basically Yoshua said, look, right, this is our land, but at the same time, however, we all have to live together. And so he made a number of institutions so that we would all get along. So one of them is understanding that as long as it's not damaging your property, people can walk through your property. So when does it not damage your property? So but when it starts raining now and you're at Revi'a Shniyah, so at that point in time, walking through people's property is going to actually damage your property, right? The earth is now softer and you're going to be hurting it if you're walking through. So now that's going to be our third answer for what is the significance of Revi'a Shniyah. And here we are now on the fourth answer. Rav Nachman Yitzchak Amar Leva'er Per Shvius. So we are now talking about beer, the mitzvah of beer Shvius. So as we've discussed already numerous times, in the Shemitah year, when fruit are growing during the Shemitah year, so they have what's called Kedusha Shvius, Kedushas Per Shvius. So they have a certain sanctity. What does that sanctity tell us? That you have to eat the fruit, La'achla. You have to eat the fruit and that's it. In other words, you can't do commercial activity with the fruit. You can't profit from the fruit. Yes, bartering would be okay. This will play a role next Sukkot comes along, and now the esrogim that have grown are grown from during the Shemitah year. Okay, so when we get to that bridge, so we will we'll cross it anyway. So there's another thing about Kedushas Perishvias, and that is biur, that there comes a certain point in time where it has to be destroyed. Now I use the word destroyed, knowing full well that it's not clear amongst the Rishonim exactly what biur means, what biur signifies. So some Rishonim talk about destruction, some Rishonim talk about being mafkirit. Okay. Again, we're just doing the daf right now. So we'll just simply say the significance is shas habiur, meaning at what point in time is it shas habiur? So the answer to that question is talui, depends. It depends on what fruit we're talking about and what is going to be the significant point in time. It's going to be basically when it's no longer available out in the field. When it's no longer available out in the field, so that's the Shas HaBiur. Did none. So here we go now with another Mishnah Shvius. So Admasai Nenim Vistorfim B'Tevin Uvikashal Shvius. You have grain of Shvius, so at what point in time now is it subject to Biur? I should tell you, Revi'a Shniyah. That's going to be when you get to the second rain, right? The second stage of the early rains of the season. So my time in Dechsiv, and then now the Gemara, after having cited the Mishnah, good, we're good. Meaning we now have a fourth Nafkamina. But as long as we're here, the Gemara says, okay, just a little bit more explanation. What is the why is that the significant point in time? So Dechsiv, so the Gemara quotes the Drasha, Levem Techa Lachaya Sher Baratzecha, Kolz Man Shechaya Chalz Besada, so Hey Achel Levem Techa Babayas, Kala Lachaya Min Asada, Kala Levem Techa Min Abayas. So the Torah tells us that as long as it's available out in the field for your animals, so then you're allowed to retain it in your house. Once it's no longer available on the fields, you no longer can retain it in your house. Okay. Good. Adkan. That's basically part two of today's daf, in which now we've covered the dates of the early rains. The early rains are coming sometime Ar Cheshvan, and specifically they're coming in three stages, right? Stage one, stage two, stage three. Stage one signifies when we begin to expect it to come. Stage three is when we start panicking. And stage two, so the Gemara now gave us four different nafkaminas in terms of the significance of that middle stage within that time period. What is that time period? So it's a three-way machlokus amongst the Tanaim, exactly when it begins and when it ends. Okay, Amar Rabbi Abau. Here, still, we're talking about rain, but now, sorry, we're transitioning over here to a little bit more agadic, an agadic tone. Amar Rabbi Abau, my lashon revia. You notice that we describe the early rains as the Revia Rishona, Revia Shnia, and Revia Shlishis. And that word Revia, so why that word? So Davisha, Revia Sakarka. So the Gemara says it's that, basically it's a mashal. It's basically that the rain is basically being intimate with the ground. Okay, Rav Yehuda, Dam Rav Yehuda, Mitra, Bala de Arahu. The Gemara over here, very graphic in its imagery. So the rain is like the husband and the ground is like the wife. It's helpful when you hear the Hafsara numerous times. It really helps you get through the pasuk.
So Revia means intercourse.
Yes, correct. And now the Gemara over here is going to be a little bit more descriptive in that the first rains is that Shetered Bekarka Tefach, it goes down into the ground one Tefach. And Shnia Kedela Guf. Ba pi chavis. And as far as that second rain is concerned, so that's going to make the ground so muddy that what you could do now is you could take some of the ground, the mud of the ground, and use it to basically seal your jars. I'm Rav Chista Gisham Shiardu Kedelagov Behem pi chavis, Ein Behem Mishum Va'atzar. Okay. Now at this point in time, what the Gemara now is going to try to help us wrap our heads around is that we know that the Torah describes in the second paragraph of Shema that there may be a scarcity, a paucity of rain. And under those circumstances, the Torah says, Ve'atzar shamayim v'lo yematar, meaning that there's a klala. In other words, if we're not compliant, if we don't follow the mitzvahs of the Torah, so then, Ve'atzar shamayim. So the heavens are gonna close up. We're not going to get rain. So basically, how do we know? Meaning, and the answer is really simple. If it rains versus it doesn't rain. But even within that, let's say it rains a little bit. Meaning, at what point do we know we're not in the danger zone? Okay, and I would assume that what the Gemara means by that is that if we're not in the danger zone, so there's no reason to sound alarms and to start fasting. But at what point do we know that we have had enough of the early rain? So that's what the Gemara is going to try to describe. So the Gemara says, "Shiardu." Sorry, I'm going to go back. I'm Rav Chista Gisham Shiardu Kidei Laguf Ba'em Pichavis Em Mishum Vatzar. So if there's enough rain where the ground is muddy enough where I could take some of that mud and use it as a sealant for my jugs, so at that point in time, we're out of the danger zone, meaning the early rains have come and a significant amount of the early rains have come. Okay, it took me a good amount of time to wrap my head around this Gemara. Rashi is very, very... Rashi is really useful over here. So basically, we know the following. So we say the second paragraph of Shema, together with the first and third. So we say it twice a day. We say in the morning, we say in the evening. So what the Rav Chista here is saying is that if I have rain, shiyardu kodim v'atzar, before I said the word v'atzar, meaning before I said Shema, so ein behem yishum v'atzar. So you're not going to be in the danger zone. So in other words, rain before Shema is good. Okay, now, which Shema? Ah, good. So, Amar Rabbi Lo Amar Nela Kodem Va'atzar Da'orta. We're talking about the Shema of the night. So what good rain? Good rain is the one that comes at night. So in other words, if it rains before your night Shema, that's good. But if it's before your morning Shema, that's not good. In other words, that rain is not useful. You're still in the danger zone. Rav Yehuda bar Yitzchak teaches us that if you see clouds in the morning, which I assume is accompanied by rain, so it's not significant. It's not helpful. Dechsev pasuk in Hosea, Ma'aselacha Ephraim, Ma'aselacha Yehuda, v'chastechem ka'anan boker. You are useless. You know how useless you are? You know, like ka'anan boker, like the clouds of the morning. Okay, so the pasuk is pretty clear in telling us that clouds and rain in the morning are not helpful. So I'm the Rapapa Labai Vahamri Inche Bemaftech Bebe Mitra Barchamra Moch Sakech Vegane. So Abai says, but what about that expression that everyone uses? Now I say everybody, right? I'm talking Bavel circa 3rd-4th century. So okay, so we don't have this expression anymore, so it's right. But anyway, the expression is that if it's really raining hard overnight, so basically if you're somebody who's selling, so today's not a good market day. Don't even bother. Pack everything up. In fact, you can stay in bed. Okay, it's an expression. So, but anyway, but the expression obviously speaking to what seems to be an accepted fact that if it rains really hard overnight, so then that's not going to be helpful. Now, it could be that it's just people are not going to be going there. It could be that also the simple pshat is that with such an abundance of rain, the prices are going to go down, whatever the case is. Lokasha. But the Gemara says, Hadakata b'iva, Hadakata b'anane. So the Gemara says, even within the rain that comes overnight, so it depends on what kind of cloud formation we're talking about. So Rashi writes over here, right, Dekata b'iva, so it's the second wide line of Rashi. In miskashu shamayim ba'ananim avim, really thick clouds. V'lo klushim ein behem yishum v'atzar. That's not bad, or otherwise stated, that's good. However, Dekata b'anane shi kalusha, me'av ein bo mamash. But if it's a light cloud formation, so that's going to be insignificant. Okay. Amar Rav Yehuda tavla shasa detevas amar lasa. Okay, now, the rain season starts in Marcheshon and ends in Nisan. We've established that this morning. The month of Teves. So do we want rain in that month or do we not? So before we start this next piece of Gemara, so I would have guessed quite incorrectly, of course we want rain that month, meaning that's part of the rainy season. The Gemara now is going to be discussing in terms of whether or not Teves is a good month for it to rain. So, Amar Rav Yehuda Teves l'shasa de, I'm sorry, Tava l'shasa de Teves, Armalasa. So it's best if the month of Teves be widowed. Okay, again, that analogy of the rain in the ground like husband and wife. So over here, if the ground was widowed, meaning if it didn't rain in Teves, that's a good thing. To which the Gemara says, now, Ika de Amri, now, why? Right? That's a pretty fair question, considering the fact that we're right now in the middle of the rainy season, so why is it a good thing? So the Gemara says, the lo bayri tarvitze. So one explanation of the Gemara, two really difficult words. Rashi explains, well, Rashi actually offers two pshatim over here. I'm going to say over the first pshat in Rashi. So, osan mekomo shemarvitze. I'm reading the Rashi. It's a fourth line down. Osan mekomo shemarvitze mem Torah. Einan boros mimnesha adrachim yafin hein. V'ochin ataminim memakul amakum lomo Torah. So they used to have a custom back in the day where the Bnei HaYeshiva, so they would transfer yeshivas in the month of Teves. I don't know why, unclear, whatever the case is. So anyway, so the month of Teves, as long as it's a dry month, so you'll have the Bnei HaYeshiva who have the ability to move from one yeshiva to another. That's why it's good. Now, Iga da'armi de lo shakal shudfana, or it has something to do with the agriculture, somehow in ways which I'm just not at all knowledgeable enough to explain. So if it rains in the month of Teves, so that's gonna somehow promote disease amongst the growth over the season. Okay, so I'll just simply say for agricultural reasons, it's best if it not rain in Teves. Okay, those are two different explanations why it's good that it doesn't rain in Teves. Ini v'ha amar Rav Chisda tavla shasa de Teves minav lasa. So the Gemara says, okay, but I'm gonna share with you a statement I heard from Rav Chisda, which is, do you know what we want in the month of Teves? Lots of rain. Okay, so Rav Yehuda says it's best with no rain in Teves, and now we have another memra of Rav Chisda who says we need lots of rain in Teves. So Lokasha had da'asa mitra mi'ikara Hadalo asa mitrumikar. The Gemara gives a really practical distinction, and that is that it depends whether or not we had rain previously. If we had previously, if, in other words, if the beginning of the rainy season, the months of Mar Cheshvan and Kislev, if it rained good then, so then, okay, so then we can go Tevis without rain. If it hasn't rained previously, so then we really need a lot of rain in the month of Tevis. Okay, simple, practical answer. Am Rav Chisda Gesham Mishiyardu, Am Mixus Medina, Am Mixus Medina Lo Yardu, Ein Behem Mishem Vatsar. Now, let's say it rains, but not, I'll say the word globally. I don't really mean globally. I mean in all communities, right? So if it, even if it doesn't rain in all communities, but one community experienced a lot of rain, another community did not, you're not in the danger zone. And as Rashi points out over here, because now, as long as one community has received rain, so now what they could do is they could import, export. Okay, Ini. The Gemara says, are you sure about that? V'haksiv. The Gemara quotes the Pasuk in Amos. V'gam anochi min ati mikem es ha-geshem be'od shlosha chadashim l'katzir v'imtarti al ir achas v'al ir achas lo amtir chalka achas timater. So the Pasuk in Amos describes where I'm giving rain to one community, but to another community I'm not going to give rain to. Okay, that's the Pasuk. Now on that, v'am rav yuram arav ch'deim l'klala. Both communities now are going to be suffering a klala. the one that didn't experience rain, obviously their klala is that they're not going to have produce. And the one that did experience rain, so they are going to have produce, but at the same time, however, the other community is going to come over, and beg for food, so it's not good. Anyway, take the Pasuk in Amos together with the memra of Rav Yehuda Merav, and what comes out now is that rain that doesn't go over all communities is not good. And that goes against what the Gemara, Rav Chisda's assertion. Rav Chisda says that mixus makamos is fine. Lo kasha hadasa tuva hadasa kedemei baile. So the Gemara says, again, it's just a simple, practical answer, and that is, it depends. If it rained in one community, in other words, and it rained appropriately, kedemei baile, so then fine. So if it rains appropriately, so then no problem whatsoever. So now that community is going to have good produce and it's able to also share with the neighboring community. That's fine. If, however, in the one community where it rained inappropriately, and it doesn't produce good crop, so that's bad for everybody. I'm Rav Ashi Deganami, and Rav Ashi says this answer that we just gave. Go back to the Pasuk in Amos, read it carefully. You're going to see it in the Pasuk. Dichsiv timater te makom matar shmamina. Okay, timater. Could be understood as makom matar. Okay, so in that one place where rain comes. And I'm not sure how, but Rashi understands that to mean that too much rain came, and it wasn't beneficial and it wasn't good. Okay, Atam, we're going to stop over here. Bracha, we'll start with bracha tomorrow. The bracha upon rain. And when do you make a bracha? Okay, let's quickly recap our daf today. Rav Nachman and Rav Yitzchak part ways, and a bracha is extended, and it's probably one of the more or most popular brachas that that we know from the Gemara. Elan. The Gemara in Daf Vav opens up with the words Yore and Malkush. What does the word Yore mean? And we know it means the early rain. But etymologically, how do we know that? How do we get from Yore to the word early rain? The Gemara gave numerous pshatim, three pshatim in total. Same thing with the word Malkush. How do I know that Malkush means the late rains? The Gemara also gives three pshatim. Also on Vav Amid Aleph, the early rains, Yara, comes in three stages. Stage one, stage two, stage three. Okay, when are those stages? Machlokus amongst the Tanaim. Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Gamliel. Okay, so a lot of Tanaim offer positions in terms of when they begin and when they end. Well, what's the significance of the beginning? So that's when we start petitioning. What's the significance of the end? That's when we sound the fire alarm. And we have people starting to fast. What is the significance of the middle stage? So the Gemara asks that question. The Gemara gives four answers. That takes us to Vav Amud Beis, those four answers. In terms of the significance of the middle stage, so based on numerous Mishnayos throughout Shas, so the Gemara gives four different nafkaminas in terms of the significance of that middle stage. And finally, the end of the daf today is the word revia, right? When we're describing the early rains that come, the language that we use is revia. Why rovea? So the Gemara says it's like husband and wife. The rain is the husband, the ground is the wife, and the Gemara uses that kind of imagery. And then the Gemara goes over what kind of rain is good rain, where we don't have to sound the alarms, then what kind of rain is not good rain? And therefore, even though it rained a little bit, but it's simply insufficient, and we have to sound the alarms.